Half past 10 on a Broken Road Radio Therapeutic Thursday. Pastor Robbie has graciously decided to allow us an extra hour to get to him today. So if you were tuning in last hour, you didn't miss him. He's here now. Pastor Robbie, an Anglican pastor, church in Fairfax, Virginia, lives in Ashburn, right on the doorstep of Washington, D.C. there. He's also the executive director of Preserving Bible Times. Listen, I'm on your website right now for the first time, and I'm on your welcome page, and it's robbiepruitt.com, and I got to tell you, that picture of the snow scene at the top is exactly what I would see looking down from the hill toward our house on the lake in Minnesota for 25 years. It's a dirt road through the woods. And I have recollections of my two young boys up ahead. We'd go up to get the mail together, and they'd run ahead, and they'd be jostling each other and laughing and running down that dirt road. This winter scene is like homesickness for me. I'm looking at that.
Yeah.
Wow, what a picture.
Well, I put it there because it's a scene of where I'd like to be. It's not where I am.
Yeah.
And that's Advent for you. Transition right in.
This looks like home. This looks like where I live now.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
You guys are lucky.
I went over to your devotionals page, and you're talking about Advent at the top, and homesickness and Advent are almost the same thing, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. C.S. Lewis said it. He said, if you find in yourself a desire for another place, a homesickness for a different home, it might be the case that you are not made for this world. Yeah, yeah. So we're people of two Advents or two arrivals. We're observing Advent, the Advent season. It's a penitential season. It's the beginning of the church year. We begin with repentance. We begin on our knees. We begin where we should begin, and that's preparing the way of the Lord, to quote John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus, coming in the spirit of Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And so we're people of two Advents, the one that we've had, that space and time between Malachi and Matthew, where the Jewish people were awaiting the Messiah, and there was the 400 years of silence and the intertestamental period, where we don't have any written works, but I would hardly say that God was silence. And we shouldn't ever mistake silence for absence.
But there was nobody recognized as an earthly prophet by the Hebrews then. So for them, they thought it was a period of silence. And
sure,
so they started talking among themselves, and all the rabbis got together and started making laws and complicating life, and like kind of like fleshing out the details of the Ten Commandments, figuring out things like, well, if you can't work on the Sabbath, how much is work? I mean, if you light eight candles, is that work? You know, trivia, minutia. And I think they lost sight of the big picture during that time, did they not?
Yeah. Back then, people were so religious that they couldn't see the forest for the trees. And unfortunately, we do that to ourselves, too, in other ways. I believe that we get ourselves so busy. And I've heard that between Thanksgiving, between, you know, basically Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, there's, quote, a war on Advent. We miss the 4 weeks between what should be the celebration of Thanksgiving, and then, of course, Christ the King. We observe Christ the King Sunday, and then right into Advent, but instead we put up the Christmas tree, we put up the Christmas lights, and I'm guilty of that. I've got them up. But we really don't celebrate Christmas until the 24th in the evening at sundown. And then, of course, Christmas morning on the 25th. And then we have 12 days of Christmas. But Advent is a four-week preparation, a four-week preparatory time. It's called the Little Lent. So it's a little Lenten season, a time of repentance and preparation. So the colors in Advent are blue or purple. We use blue. I like the blue a little bit better. I actually sent
you
an article.
Well, it reflects your eyes, you know. I think I enjoy it. I can see
they're hazel, actually.
Oh, is that what they call that? Okay.
Yeah, but if I'm wearing a blue shirt, they might reflect the blue. But The season of Advent is a throwback to creation. It's a throwback to the blue threads and the priestly garments. It's a throwback to the sky and the sea and creation. It's a throwback to the kings and the priests of old. It's certainly a throwback to the Exodus and the parting of the waters and the Israelites being saved through the waters. The Ark of the Covenant was covered in blue when it was being moved and traveling.
You know, so you know what that reminds me of contextually? It's symbolism, and it's important in the Anglican Church, not so important in the modern Protestant Church. They deal in rationality, but symbols have value, and it reminds me of the idea of Remez, where you could you could give us a hint of what had come before, and because your audience, and in this case Hebrew males, would have memorized the Hebrew scripture as young children, any little, you read the opening sentence and they would replay the whole thing instantly in their mind. Symbolism has value, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So Remez being a hearkening back. So when you use a color like blue, the blue thread and the garments of the priest, that is tracing all the way back to the tabernacle. It is tracing all the way back to creation, all the way back to the Ark of the Covenant being covered in blue. And it begins the church year, Advent, with waiting, or it means arrival, which was the point of the joke, you know, my Advent was later than expected. Well, we're in between two Advents. There are two of them, the first coming of Jesus and the second coming. So why observe Advent if he's already gotten here in the incarnation, right? Because in the Anglican Church, we say it in our Eucharist liturgy, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. So we believe in a second coming. We believe that Jesus will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and that his kingdom will have no end. So we're waiting on a different kingdom. Back to the C.S. Lewis quote, we're waiting on the kingdom to come, the home that we've been anticipating, that we've been pining for, that homesickness. And so Isaiah captures that in this Sunday's reading, actually, in Isaiah. It's this example that Jesus is coming, this foreshadowing of Christ in Isaiah 11, 1 through 10. It says, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his Spirit shall be in the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord, and he shall judge by what he sees and decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and decide equity for the meek of the earth. You can almost hear signs like sounds of the Beatitudes in there, can't you? This righteousness.
Are you familiar with the Revelation song? Jenny Lee Riddle, 1990s. I've got some of the lyrics up because what you were just talking about reminds me of that. And there's one verse, and this is one of the few contemporary Christian songs that has been actually inspired by the Holy Spirit. This is one of the most moving songs I've ever heard. One of the verses is, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Oh, with all creation, I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you." It's a terrific song, and it just reminds me who was and is to come. They nailed it with that. There's the two Advents.
It's Revelation, too. Mm-hmm. It's Revelation when Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." He is the end of this thing that we're waiting on. He is his arrival is the punctuation at the end of time, the culmination of all things, the coming together of the restoration of all things, where Revelation 21:5 comes true, where Jesus says, "Behold, I make all things new." And we even begin with Revelation in the opening sentences of our services and Advent. We begin with Maranatha, amen, come Lord Jesus. We begin with, surely the Lord is coming soon. Amen, come Lord Jesus. That's Revelation 22:20. We begin with the end in mind. To quote, what is that, Stephen Covey? He said, begin with the end in mind.
Yeah.
And then other leadership experts like Simon Sinek picked up on it, where he says, begin with why. Well, if Christ is coming again in glory to judge the living and the dead, if judgment is coming, if restoration is coming, well, that can inform how we live our lives. We live our lives in anticipation. We live our lives in hope. We live our lives with understanding and assurance that we're in a battle that the Lord has already won, and that Christ has come, that Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. That's the assurance of a different kingdom. So that should inform our trust in God, our hope in God, that he will give us peace. The first Sunday in Advent was hope. The next one is peace this Sunday. The next one is joy. And the final one is love. And then in comes Christ with the incarnation and the first Advent. And we're in between the Advents. We're in between his first coming and his second coming. So what do? We do what John the Baptist told us to do. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We must repent, for God is coming. And I love this little Advent reflection that Quava put it out, Q-A-V-A. It says, Advent begins in the quiet, not the peaceful kind, but the kind that feels like God is silent. Between Malachi and Matthew, heaven waited 400 years to speak again, but the silence wasn't empty. It was preparation. Hope was being woven beneath the stillness, and God's promises were already in motion. Isn't that beautiful?
It is beautiful.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. You used a word a few minutes ago, a phrase, actually. I wanted to ask you about it because a lot of people are asking the same question, I guess. Fear of the Lord. Live in fear of the Lord. What is fear mean there? Does it mean afraid? Or is that just part of it? Or is that all of it?
It reminds me of a joke my grandfather used to tell about the old man who refused to read Revelation. And the pastor asked him, well, why won't you read the book? He said, because it scares the hell out of me.
Well,
isn't that the point? A holy God will scare the hell out of you. Literally, and I believe that that's the point of Advent, a holy reverence and fear and anticipation. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the Proverbs tell us, that a fool says in his heart, there is no God. How haughty or prideful do you have to be to say there is no God or to rest in yourself as God? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a mighty God.
So I think literal fear is an important part of that, but I also have heard people explain it as meaning fix your attention on. Yeah. For example, you're being stalked. Somebody is about to do you harm. You focus on that at the time and prepare to defend yourself. But not so much a personal attack here as seeing who God is, how he does things, what he likes, what he doesn't like. It's focusing your attention on the eternal.
Yeah. And what kind of God is it if you're not afraid? And I would put a little G there. You see this in Isaiah 6. Woe is me, for I am ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips. When people encounter God, they're terrified. Look at Judges and Samson's parents. We should be dead right now when they encountered the angel of the Lord. Look at Jacob wrestling with the angel of the Lord. And God wounded him in the place of his quest for blessing. Look at Peter, knee deep in fish, as he knelt before Jesus saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. when we encounter God, we encounter ourselves in the light of God. And in Advent, we remember that light has come into the world, to quote John. And in him, there is no darkness at all. So when we encounter the light of God, the dark recesses of our broken, muddy, and sin-filled hearts are exposed. And we are exposed to ourselves, even in ways that we haven't been. And we have a realization, or should have a realization, of who we are and what condition we are in light of a holy God. God is holy. God is all-powerful. He's almighty. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He is love. He is light. He is power. And if we do not tremble before him, we are kneeling in the presence of something lesser than God. And so Advent is the anticipation of God himself. And when he comes the first time, it's humble. It's an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a feed trough for animals, for sheep. In Bethlehem, the house of bread, the bread of life, is laid in a feed trough. Amongst temple sheep, the Lamb of God is laid to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world for all time. He's humble. He's born amongst temple sheep and shepherds in the most humble of dwelling places. But when he comes again, he will come in great power and great might. And when he comes again, he will judge the living and the dead. And he will make all things new. He will do away once and for all, for all sin, all death, and all evil. And this is the picture. This is the picture of a mighty God, a mighty heavenly battle illustrated in Revelation. And coming into the culmination of the recreation of all things, a new heaven and a new earth coming down like a bride adorned for her husband. And if this doesn't terrify us, our lights aren't on. Somebody, you know, we're a couple of sandwiches short of a picnic. We're a couple of floors short of the penthouse here. We're, you know, the elevator doesn't go all the way to the top. We're, whatever illustration we're using, but if we're not somewhat afraid of God, I believe that we're handling something or dealing in the currency of something less than God. If it's true that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again, we got to live differently. This is what John meant when he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Every mountain shall be brought low. Every valley and low place shall be raised up. Every crooked place be made a plain. Prepare the way of the Lord. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight.
There's a description, an illustration of the difference between light and darkness that's always hit home with me, and it sounds trivial, and I guess it is, but the meaning, again, the symbolism is not trivial. You're sitting in your living room. The lights are on. You're reading. Over on the side of the living room is a closet. Behind the closet, there's no light. There's stuff hanging in there. If you open the closet, dark does not flood the room. Light floods the darkness. The key is live in the darkness. No, the key is live in the light.
That's right. The shadow proves the sunshine.
That's
why Revelation tells us there's going to be no more sun, no more moon. For the glory of God will give it its light.
I want to recommend Robbie's website to you. It's a beautiful website, for one thing. There are devotionals and lots of other things there. Poetry. RobbiePruitt.com is the simple address. There's a link to it. Robbie put a link in the chat window at Broken Road Radio. You can follow it there. He's also the executive director of Preserving Bible Times. Their website, also a link to it in our chat window, preservingbibletimes.org. And there you'll find contextual information that helps you read between the lines of the Bible. And without it, you're missing probably 80% of what's there. So you're cheating yourself if you're not interested in context. If you just open the book and say, how does that verse affect me? Consider the context first, how it affected the original audience, and then you'll see how it affects you now. Recommendation, preservingbibletimes.org. Robbie, thank you. We'll
Thanks,
talk
Robbie.
Again soon. Yeah, appreciate it. Next week, next week is what in Advent? Peace?
Yeah, this Sunday, 7th,
okay.
Is peace.
Already. Well, regards to the family, Merry Christmas to you. We'll look forward to next week.
God's hope, God's peace, God's joy, and God's love be with you this Advent and always. Godspeed and God bless. Thanks for having me on the Broken Road, Jim and David.
Take care, Robbie. Bye-bye.